Sairam, dear listeners, it's back to English program after the 60 minutes of Hindi special, and you're listening to the Thursday live broadcast from the studios of Radio Sai, and I am Team Radio Sai's Vishu, happily at your service. Very recently, I was on the train returning from my hometown in Odisha, and I happened to start speaking to one person who wore a cap that all Muslims wear, and he sported a long black beard. And as I started conversing, he told me that he's originally from West Bengal and he was coming to Puttaparthi accompanying his brother who needs a heart surgery. A few years ago, his brother started experiencing pain while breathing, and with time, it had got worse. The doctors in West Bengal told them to go to a big hospital and also mentioned that the surgery would definitely cost a lot of money. Now, these brothers were daily wage workers currently working in Kerala, and they were in deep distress. And it is at this time that someone told them about Baba's hospital in Puttaparthi. So they immediately arranged for some funds and were on their journey to this hospital in the train. That is where I met them. And now their minds were filled with doubts and fears and apprehensions. They were coming to a foreign land and they were all uneducated. When I assured them that truly they will not be charged for anything in Baba's hospital and that they would get a fair and accurate diagnosis of their brother's condition and also suggested remedy, they were so relieved. In fact, the brother almost broke down saying how there is no place in society for people like them who have little means. While there are many options for the wealthy, for the poor, there were none. And this only set me thinking, dear listeners, about how wonderful it would be if only more hospitals like this came up in every state of this country. There is no dearth of resources in this land, but what is needed is a pure will. And Baba, through his projects, especially these magnificent temples of healing, has showed us what is possible when one has a sincere desire to relieve the pain of one's brethren. Just a couple of days ago, the Sai Kurunth Hall witnessed a lovely evening. It was an evening of reflection and rededication by the staff and students of Sri Satya Sai Institute of Higher Medical Sciences, Whitefield, Bangalore, Baba Super Speciality Hospital in this metropolitan city. They were celebrating the 12th anniversary of this hospital. And one beautiful part of this presentation was how all of them offered themselves to Baba on this day. We know that doctors and physicians take the Hippocratic oath to practice medicine ethically and honestly, but all the staff, doctors and everyone else of this hospital on that day, January 20th, 2013, took an oath in front of Bhagwan's presence in Sai Kurunth Hall, and that was really a thrilling moment. Let me now play that oath for you, dear listeners.
Kindly repeat what we are reassuring the world today. We, the students and staff of Shri Satya Sai Institute of Higher Medical Sciences, Whitefield, on the auspicious occasion of our 12th anniversary, rededicate ourselves in the service of mankind, to render comprehensive healthcare with love, compassion, and spirit of sacrifice. We will always promote heart to heart and love to love relationship with the sick, irrespective of caste, creed, nationality, and class, in line with Bhagwan's health mission. Bless us, all pervasive and omnipresent Sai Swami. स्वामी तू है हर कण कण में हम देखें रोज तुझे मन के दर्पण में।
So that was the oath that the staff and the students of Baba Super Speciality Hospital took in front of him on January 20th, 2013. And besides this, their presentation of course included many touching stories. One especially was of a patient from Pakistan who had come to this hospital looking for succor and solace, praying for the health of their little son who had a hole in his heart. This hospital till date has done over 15,100 cardiac surgeries, 16,500 neurosurgeries, and has provided consultation to over 8,60,000 patients. The monetary value of the service provided so far is over 1,100 crores of rupees. And everything has been offered free of cost. But those numbers, even though impressive, is not what makes this hospital really special. That is not the key thing about this hospital. I think the most unique aspect of this hospital lies in another dimension. And which is that dimension? Well, that is what we will be discussing today. But before we proceed, let us first offer our loving and most prayerful salutations at the lotus feet of the one who is the eternal colossus of compassion. Dear Lord, please bless us so that we may never ever forget that the only true goal of our lives is to live for others. With this prayer, let's move on and welcome, dear listeners, to yet another episode of Outside, Inside and Deep Inside. You are listening to the Thursday live broadcast and I am Team Radio Sai's Vishu, and today we discuss Baba Super Speciality Hospital in Bangalore. Moments of inspiration, introspection and hard work in the voices of Sai alumni. This is the second part of this discussion. Yes, we are going to discuss about that dimension that I mentioned some time ago, which makes it very unique. In fact, in the first part of this panel discussion last week, in this hour, you heard one of the panel members, Neeraj, narrate a story of a patient who was in the ICU for very long and he was not recovering even after the best efforts of the nurses and the doctors. So when everyone else in the hospital did not know what to do, they were clueless. Finally, the counseling department stepped in, and the moment one of the counselors started speaking to this patient in Marathi, the patient's mother tongue, his native language, the patient started becoming comfortable, and slowly in the 4 sessions with the counselor, he started opening up, and then the counselor discovered that this patient had something troubling him deeply within, and that was his mother had passed away 4 or 5 years ago, and according to their custom, he's supposed to do the annual ceremony to mark the day of her mother's passing, and this year the time for this ceremony coincided with the call letter from the hospital for his surgery. And with great reluctance, he had decided to skip the ceremony and come for the surgery. And now, even though the surgery was successful and over, he was very disturbed because he could not do the ceremony for his mother, whom he loved very much. Now, once the counselor found out this problem, she explained him everything. She told him, imagine if your mother was still here and there was a ceremony that you wanted to do, a particular worship that you wanted to do, your mother wanted you to do, and at the same time you get this call letter from the hospital. What do you think your mother would have wanted you to do? Wouldn't she be happy for you to get operated and get well soon? Isn't your mother happy when you are healthy? When she started counseling her, this person, in this manner, the patient was so much at ease. Within a matter of less than 24 hours, his recovery started and he was back in the ward from the ICU. The counselor explained to him that the deep love he has for his mother itself will please his mother. The fantastic thing is how the hospital worked to look at the person as an entire being, a person with a body, mind and soul, and not just as a diseased heart. If the doctors would have tried to treat him as a body with a troubled heart, probably he would have recovered, probably he would have stayed for another 10 days in the ICU and eventually recovered, but probably not in the manner and in the way it happened so remarkably in a matter of 12 hours. And I think this kind of healing is what is unique about Baba's hospital. In fact, in the last episode of this panel discussion, we stopped at this point after Neeraj explained this story, and then Ashwin and Karthik made a few more comments. So let me now play for you the second part of this discussion with Ashwin, Karthik and Satish Chandra, all three of them former students working in Baba's hospital as senior managers in Bangalore, and also Neeraj, who works in the medical division of Sri Sathya Sai Central Trust, all of them involved in Baba's healthcare mission. So let's listen now to the second part of this panel discussion.
Fantastic. But one story that you mentioned, Neeraj, which was so moving, corresponding to the counseling department, and you mentioned in that process, what is healing? You know, the WHO defines healing as a state of complete physical, mental and social well-being, and not merely the absence of any disease or infirmity. But you explain to us through that example how we are going much beyond that. We are going to that spiritual dimension. And I'm really reminded of one definition of health which is given by Australian Aboriginal people. You know, they say health is not just physical well-being of the individual, but it refers to social, emotional, spiritual and cultural well-being of the patient. And I think even though WHO doesn't put this down, but in some ways, from the example that you gave, we see we have in some ways practicing this, at least in some patients.
So
maybe I'm really tempted to ask you, can you share some more stories?
Because
this is such a heartwarming, that one was really heartwarming, and I think there are plenty that is happening in the hospital of that nature.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And one which I immediately remember, I'll never forget that incident when this patient, he himself told this story and I was present when he was sharing this. His name is Siraj. He's a Muslim patient from Kerala, and he had in his place, he had earlier, before he was diagnosed of coronary disease, he heard about Swami's, about Swami as in terms of the negative publicity that goes around. So he didn't have any much that great opinion. But once he was diagnosed of coronary disease, he was just 34 or 35 years that time. And when he was seeking medical help, somebody told him that there is a hospital in Bangalore which provides free healthcare. And he came to know that it is Swami's hospital. So what Karthik you mentioned, I remember that people have the concern, oh, this is free healthcare, I don't know what sort of care they will give, but anyway, he said, what is wrong in trying, let me go and see. So he came down to Bangalore, came to our Whitefield hospital, went to the screening block OPD, and he really had triple vessel disease, and it was a critical condition, so it had to be immediately taken as priority without even a waiting period. So within a month or so, he was called after all the preparatory thing, and he was operated. And this Siraj was telling me, in fact to the audience, there was a group of people, that when I stayed in the hospital, I was really so touched and moved by the way the care is given. And that removed my first doubt, no? I was wondering, free healthcare, will the quality come? That was taken care of. I was absolutely perfect. Then he said, in my post-op period, when I was in ward, I was going around in the ward just to, you know, you can move a little bit there. And he said, I saw one board on the wall. On that board, there was what was written was the five human values: Satya, Dharma, Shanti, Prema, Ahimsa. So he said, I have not read much of philosophy, so I didn't know what the first four meant: Satya, Dharma, Shanti, Prema. But he said, the last one when I read, Ahimsa, non-violence, he said, something pricked my heart. Because this man, Siraj, was a butcher by profession in Kerala. So he said, what am I doing? I'm killing thousands of, hundreds of animals every day just to make a living for me and my family. And he said that at that point I thought of something for me, And he said, after I got discharged, this Siraj went back to his place, discussed with his family members, and they all decided to close down the butcher shop.
Wow.
And became vegetable vendors. Not only that, no, there's something more to come. This man says, I could understand for myself the benefits of being a vegetarian. He has himself become a vegetarian man. And he was telling the other day when he was speaking that, you see me now, I'm well trimmed and look much healthier. When I came to hospital, he was quite obese. So he said, I have seen the benefit of becoming a vegetarian. And he says, now I promote vegetarianism in my community, in my society. So here is Siraj. It's not that we just treated Siraj for his coronary arteries, for his blocks. His heart was transformed. And not only that, Siraj and his family, the moment he goes back...
Literally and figuratively.
Absolutely. And when he goes back, when he shares that experience and the learning, he's transforming the society. And that's the beautiful model which we look... Now, when we look at Swami's model, it's not just providing the free and quality health care, but the way you provide, it transforms the patient. And when the patient goes back and shares that in his community, that transforms the community. So that is a beautiful, absolutely. There's something which, when I'm telling the story, even now, I'm getting goosebumps when I saw that patient sharing.
It's a classic case of spiritual, cultural and social transformation.
Yeah.
Amazing. Ashwin, you might have seen so many patients. You get to work with the patients in the cardiac ward. Tell us some stories.
I'm going to tell you a funny story. Mm-hmm. Because to me, transformation is not, it's a big word, but it can happen to some very small people. And some of the smallest people who come to the hospital are always my favorites, the little children. There was a child that I knew who was seen in the hospital. And he spent some time with us. He spent close to a week. He had a hole in the heart which needed to be operated on. And, when he was in the ward, he, of course, along with the other children, they've created certain facilities to keep the children occupied in the ward. But he, in a very childlike way, noticed a lot of things around him. And the nurses have this habit of getting the children into some kind of a conversation. So I remember this child, even before he was operated, can you imagine? A nurse walked up to him and said, okay, so you're all set for your surgery? And he said, yes. And once you have the surgery, you'll be fine. You can go back home. And he said, yes. And what do you want to become when you grow up? What would you love to become? And you know what the most common answer we hear from many of these children is? We want to become doctors. So we can come back and serve. But this child had an answer that had me smile. He said, I want to come back as Sai Ram.
As Sai Ram?
As Sai Ram. Had we heard wrong? I want to come back as Sai Ram. Who did this child look up to as Sai Ram? Every afternoon, a volunteer would come through the ward to serve all these children their tea, coffee, etc. And each time he would stop by them, he would say, Sai Ram, and put a cup of, milk in front of them. He'd say, Sai Ram, and offer them their food. And this little child, every now and then, would get off his bed. He would get to that little tray, trolley that the volunteer was pushing, and help him push this little trolley through the ward. And each time he would stop, he would also say, Sai Ram. And so the boy mistook this volunteer who was saying Sai Ram to be Sai Ram. And the child's biggest ambition was to come back and push that trolley again and serve the number of people who are in the hospital, do the little things for them. And to me, it was very heartwarming because the spontaneity with which he said, I'd love to come back as Sai Ram. Why? Because I've been deeply touched and inspired by this person who says Sai Ram and makes such a big difference to people.
Amazing. The story I remember is about, generally we kind of see a lot of poor patients who come to the hospital. This particular patient is far from being poor. He's actually at that time he was the deputy collector of one of the districts in Orissa. And, I'm reminded of this story, as a contrast to, kind of patients normally come. This person chose to come to this hospital because not because he couldn't afford it, but because, you know, the kind of care which, you know, the technical excellence, but coupled with that love and compassion. So he comes to the hospital, you know, to get treated, and he gets treated. And I believe, like, I had interviewed him, you know, for one of the heart-to-heart stories at that time. He had become, you know, he had donned the role of a public relations officer for the hospital from the in the hospital ward itself. So much so that he was even addressing concerns about, you know, generally we have people say that, oh, you have got a long waiting list and things like that. So he was even counseling patients, saying, you know, how their turn would also come and things like that. And accordingly, some person had even got his turn for surgery, whom he was, you know, speaking to. And this man's mission at that time had become to, you know, come and serve in the hospital, you know, once he gets well. So, like that, there are so many aspects, you know, people kind of are so moved by the care they receive.
Nobody leave, once they enter the hospital, nobody leaves untouched. There are a lot of people who, you know, who walk outside the hospital. They think it's a big hotel, or they don't know what it is, because it doesn't look like a hospital, it doesn't smell like one. You come inside and then learn that this is a hospital, and on top of that, it provides free healthcare. You are never the same again. You are a different person. And one of the talking about transformation, I have had opportunities to be on the clinical side in the CTVS OT stores, and also now in finance, on a more administrative kind of a role, where I don't see so many patients on a day-to-day basis. But I've had I see both sides of, you know, the treatment that is offered to them on one side, and what they feel at the end of it all on the other side. One thing that clearly almost each and every patient feels is gratitude. I remember when I was in the OT, I think it was in 2001, it must have been 2001, a child had a condition called TGA, if I'm transposition of great arteries, I suppose. And that was a very complicated medical condition, and the child was just 12 days old. When a child is having a heart condition like that, how does it communicate? I mean, it cannot even say that this is where it's paining, and
12 days. Oh my God.
And the parents must have run from pillar to post just to find out. I mean, they would have first gone to their local doctor, then they would have been referred to some other doctor. It was a miracle that it was identified even that early. And I think by the time the child must have been, say, a few days older, the surgery was performed. It was called arterial switch, I guess. And it was a successful surgery. In fact, in our records, the patient doesn't have a name. The child is a patient. It says baby of so-and-so. Didn't have a name at the time. And that 12-day-old child must be 12 years old now.
Uh-huh.
Can you imagine how it feels?
Wow.
And in honor of, you know, in, after, out of their gratitude for Swami, they called this child Sai Prasad.
Beautiful.
What Karthik didn't mention also is that, you know, I had a chance to actually speak to the mother when she came in, and through her tears, she basically said, we decided not to name the child for a little while because doctors have told us that the surgery cannot be done, and even if it has to be done, it will cost many lakhs of rupees. So the father and mother couldn't afford it. So to them, it was just having the child as long as they can. They had taken it for granted that, I mean, why name the child and then suffer the loss of a dear one that you have named? And so they deliberately did not name the child for a certain period of time. And Sai Prasad, for the benefit of those who may not know Sanskrit or Hindi, Prasad is gift. So it is Swami's gift to the family. And it's remarkable how their gratitude expresses itself in such beautiful ways.
And we have got many instances. I remember that one taxi driver whom we had interviewed for one of the videos. He was also treated in Whitefield Hospital. And
Mohammed or
Sajid or Mohammed Samir. And we can see the feeling and the emotion, the tears in his eyes. And he uses that word, those words still ring in my ears. He says that, paise paise ke liye main tarap raha tha. I have really struggled for gathering money for my treatment outside. Idhar lakhon ka ilaj free mein, muft mein hota hai. In this hospital, treatment worth lakhs is given free of cost. And now that I am fine, he says, that Saji says, now that I am fine, I feel that after I become much little more healthier, can I come and do some service in this hospital as my gratitude. That is the transformation that, you know, Swami is looking for. Not only treat their medical conditions, but make them better human beings when they go out. And that's something which is unique.
I think that is a common refrain. I think if you see the bottom line of one of the bottom lines of all the patients who are treated in the hospital, right from the little one that Ashwin mentioned to the distinguished doctor,
collector.
Satish Chandra mentioned, collector, it was a collector that Satish Chandra mentioned to, you know, to
a taxi driver.
Everybody wants to give back. I think that compassion is what somehow gets instilled in every person who enters this colossus of compassion, that is the hospital. But I want to ask you something else. I mean, this is the story of every patient. But does this house of compassion inspire the other partners who are related to the hospital, who are connected to the hospital, not necessarily as patients, but they could be connected in different capacities as vendors or as visiting doctors or as some health professionals? Do you see, is it really making any change in their perspective also? Because, you know, I think Swami envisioned to change the healthcare ecosystem, and everybody in the system should undergo some kind of a transformation if this entire thing has to change. So from your experience, Neeraj, maybe we'll start with you. Have you seen any change in other partners?
Absolutely, absolutely. That's the beauty of this model, no? Anybody who comes in touch with this beautiful medical model, no, gets moved and touched, moved and inspired. I remember this engineer from Siemens. He had met with one of my very close colleagues, and he told me when this engineer was sharing this experience. Of course, this relates to the Parthi Super Specialty Hospital in 91, which was a remote place that time, not that well known. And this man from Siemens came as an engineer to install the CT scan. I think it was not in 91, it must have been 93 or something, this machine came in. So he says that it was, of course, an imported machine, and it's a huge structure, and so it comes and it gets assembled, and this man came down, if I remember, from Bombay, and the machine was assembled, and it requires a lot of calibration because there are too many instruments and panels which has to be calibrated. At the same time, there was a particular date which was announced for its inauguration, and that was very closely approaching, because by the time the imports came in, and that time it was a very strict import regime, so maybe it got delayed in that. By the time it landed and got assembled in hospital, it took a long time. It was just 1 or 2 days before the launch of that particular facility. He says, when the doctors in the department told that, no, a day after we have scheduled the opening of this particular equipment, he says, impossible. It can't, because minimum time it takes is about 1 week for setting up all the things, because it's a very critical diagnostic equipment. If something goes wrong, that the whole diagnosis is failed. He says, I have to test it well to ensure that it delivers the correct results. He said, 1 week it for sure. You can't do within before that. Doctor said, you do your work and let's see what happens. And this man says, when I started working on it, I put on the equipment, and he says that when we switched it on and I started monitoring each parameter, it was calibrated by itself. And he says that man in 94 itself was some 17 or 18 years old in that industry. He says, never ever in my life I have seen a CT scan being calibrated and put to use in a day or a half, 1.5 day time. So he says that when I got associated with that particular incident, what learning that this particular engineering got was, this place is not just like an ordinary hospital. There is a divine undercurrent which runs through, which operates in multifarious activities like this. That even equipment You know, we can talk about human beings, you know, getting transformed, but even equipment being installed or getting calibrated in something which was unusual, he says that I could make out there is something divine that happens in this place. And that's what was the transformation, that's what was something learning that he took back. No? There's something is beyond the human comprehension. There's something which goes beyond that.
Fantastic. Satish Chandra, you are working in the stores and engineering, and probably you have interacted with a lot of vendors that supply equipments and other consumables to the hospitals. What has been your experience?
It's been fantastic, really. And whenever we actually interact with any of the vendors and we give them even the background about the hospital and request them, you know, to see what is it that they can offer from their side, you know, not giving it anything free, but seeing what is it that they can offer. You know, I've seen so many, little instances. Like the other time, one service engineer offered, because, the company he works for does not allow him to, you know, come and service equipment without, you know, entering into a service contract and things. So he actually on his own took a call and said, I will come on my own time. You know, so that he doesn't need to report to the company during that particular time. So you have people who go the extra mile or, you know, do something different, you know, to kind of work around the, you know, situations. And that is one. And I'm also reminded about the transformation Swami's hospitals have had in the government, you know, the amount of support we have got from the government institutions, this is, I would like to really acknowledge. And I remember the Chief Minister of Karnataka State, he had made a remark on one of the applications, I think seeking some tax exemptions. He had mentioned, written, you know, in bold on the application, this hospital is doing what the government should be doing. So we will give this hospital this benefit. So, you know, that's something coming from the Chief Minister of the state. It's something fantastic, and I can't imagine of anything else which can bring about that transformation. So Swami's, the scale at which he works is phenomenal.
Taking a cue from Satish Chandra, he was talking about service engineers. One of the service engineers has actually turned an employee of our hospital. That is, he works in the Parthi Super Speciality Hospital.
Yeah.
And he's been here for quite a while, probably I think almost a decade now. And also about, you know, being in finance department, you bargain and negotiate and till you can get the equipment free. Once they are ready to give it free, you will ask for two. I mean, that's the way in any finance department works. And I see recently we had negotiated for the purchase of a huge equipment, quite a substantial value. And the difference between their first quote and their second quote was in crores. There is something that should have happened between these two quotations. The first quotation that we received from the company and the second one, the difference was in crores, and between why should there be a difference between these two? We had one person, the chief of that company, visit our hospital. That is all that had happened between the two. I wouldn't attribute it to our negotiation skills or people who come there see for themselves what happens there, and something happens to them. And they would also like to be partners in what we do, and it reflects in, you know, the kinds of prices we get, the kinds of deals we get. It's wonderful, really, that so many people are able to be a part of Swami's mission.
I think the bottom line is, when you are touched, you cannot stay quiet. You can be the Chief Minister of the state, you can be the CEO of an equipment firm. But when you are touched by this ideal, which is so much larger than you, and you look at it in awe and wonder, is this possible? you have to contribute. You can't stay quiet.
Mm-hmm.
And it can come straight down to the individual. I remember a moment, I mean, it's quite embarrassing on my part, but there was a time where every day when I'd enter the department and, you know, be doing my work, in those days I was very actively involved with operating the ultrasound machine, and there would be a gentleman who'd wheel in patients every day without fail. He'd look at me, he'd smile, he'd wish me. And then he'd help the patient, put the patient back on the bed, you know, get the test done, help the patient out. And that is the way it would be for weeks together. One day, he walked in, he looked at me, again smiled, wished me and said, "Today is my last day of service, so I came to see you."
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't stay quiet, so I looked at him and said, "You know, your face is so familiar, but I just cannot place you. Are you by chance one of the youth in Bangalore? Are you a student by chance? Because I've seen you somewhere." And the man doesn't say a word. He unbuttons his shirt. And I see a scar on his chest. A patient from our hospital is cured and goes back to come back to serve other patients. And what does he say? He puts it very simply. He says, "Only I will know the kind of pain that a patient goes through when he undergoes a massive heart surgery. So it's my duty to give back. I'm a healthy person now, but I know what it's like. And so I will come, wheel the patient, maybe the smallest of things to do. It may go unnoticed by millions and millions of people. But it's my job. I will come, wheel the patient in, because I know what it feels like." That is transformation.
Yeah. You know, I remember even visitors who come to hospital, how they get inspired. And there I would like to share. There was one team from House of Commons from UK who had come to India. And one of their visit place was in Bangalore. And what I heard is that they had some spare time and somebody told about Swami's hospital. So they just came in for the spare time that they had. And they came to the hospital, they came to the dome area, you know, the majestic dome area that we spoke about. And the director received them. And this particular incident was narrated by the director. And he said that when they came in, their response was very casual sort of, you know, just like they wanted to pass time. So, you know, let me see another hospital, that sort of thing. So director took them around some of the critical areas of the hospital, explained them what the philosophy is, who the founder is, and how what the hospital does, and the amount of work that it does. And that took about half an hour, and they went around, and when they came back, before they left, when they came back to director's office, and in the closing remarks, when one of the main person of that group, it seems he looked at the big photo of Swami which is there in the dome area, and he asked, "Who is this person whose photo you put?" So Dr. Safaya, who was the director then, he said that he is the person, he is the founder of this institution, and whatever we are doing is based on his values and his guidelines that he has given. And would you believe, this man from UK who has just come to Swami's fold half an hour before,
parliamentarian,
didn't know anything about Swami or his work. He looks at the photo, he folds his hand and does namaskar. That is a transformation in half an hour. A person who came as a new person to the system. That is a transformation which brings out even in a visitor who casually walks in the hospital.
Fantastic. I think we saw a wide spectrum of people. You had, we started with patients, and then we saw vendors and visitors and suppliers. At various levels, you see how the mission is really touching the different people, different sections of people who are involved with Bhagavan's mission.
Another critical aspect which is generally not looked upon or it doesn't come to the forefront is the criticality of blood. And in our hospital, can you believe that the patients do not need to worry about blood at all? And the beautiful way in which the blood bank, the manager and the blood bank staff arrange for the blood, and it is never at short supply, and the way the whole the blood donation happens is 98% of all the blood that we collect and distribute is all collected on a voluntary basis. So we don't actually solicit, but people come and volunteer blood. And I remember Sai Kiran narrating one incident when he actually called a person, one of the software programmers in Bangalore. It seems he stays very far away, almost some 30, 40 kilometers away. But when Sai Kiran calls him and explains, you know, how critical it is to a particular patient, and he happens to be having a rare blood group, the software programmer asks Sai Kiran, are you related to that patient? Because, you know, like Sai Kiran went off into, you know, how critical it is and how urgently they need and all. So it
actually,
goes
we are
back.
Indeed related.
Exactly. So, you know, we all take the patients as our own kith and kin. And now, you know, once he had come to the hospital, it seems he had kind of given standing instructions. Any time you require blood, I'm just a phone call away.
Fantastic. Beautiful. Okay, we have discussed so many things in the last more than an hour, and you really get a very reassuring feeling. So many stories really gladden your heart, you know. It's really a very fulfilling feeling when you hear all the stories of transformation. But at the same time, and I think I should present this to you, because there are times when you do feel sad about certain tales about the hospital that you hear. It could be about a farmer from West Bengal who traveled all the way only to find out that his heart condition or his ailment cannot be treated in the promised hospital. Or it could be someone who had to wait for months for his turn to come for surgery. Or also, if you look at in the recent times, you know, there are apprehensions about the quality of care, whether it will be maintained, since we have lost, I mean, we do not have that magnetic personality of Bhagwan. So there are these apprehensions now. So I want to really ask you, what are the challenges that you see? Though everything is beautiful, but I think it is not as easy as it sounds, and there are things that you are dealing with in running a mammoth institution like this. So can we discuss about what are we dealing with now, Karthik?
Being in finance Prushti, the first thing that comes to mind, you know, we don't have any income, any regular source of income. It's just donors' money. So the first thing that you would think of is, you know, how long are we going to be able to get funds to sustain? But the challenge is really that it is not so, and to realize and to be able to think that money is not a constraint, because Swami is always in whatever he has done. Charity is not something that he did because funds are available. Water project, Swami took loans and then got the water project done. When there is a need, he says money will come. If the motive is noble, money will come. But it was something that came very naturally to him. For it to be able to come to us also as naturally is a challenge in itself, I would say. One incident comes to my mind. It was at a time when there was a resource crunch, and the devotees of the ashram had collected some checks, and then they went and presented it to Bhagwan, their own little contributions, what they could. Swami returned all the checks. And then he said, I don't need your money. I need your love and your service. So he clearly shows us the direction in which we should be going. Human resource, he's always maintained, is the most valuable resource.
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, you know, like earlier we spoke about man management was something which was dear to Swami, and that reflects in each of his institutions, which is true even in medical. And being in HR, I would like to add on what Karthik said, that one of the challenges which appears to be a challenge is the way we... the HR issues. How do we retain the people, the people who are serving here? Earlier, of course, many of us, like all of us, were inducted by Swami. So there was a physical magnet, physical pull, which kept all of us with Swami for his, doing his work. Now, what will happen in the future, now in the absence, physical absence of Swami?
So even doctors and other medical
Absolutely.
Professionals came because of
Majesty. Yes, Swami had told many of them, come and serve. So what will happen in future? It is, of course, a very logical question. But what I, you know, what I'm seeing and being in HR, you know, which I would like to share, what I've seen last 2 years, I would say. Just being a part of this institution is a great fulfilling feeling for many of the people, including the doctors. You know? This was a surprise to me when I was part of some of the interviews. I'd like to share two, three examples. One doctor who is a general medicine postgraduate, and general medicine postgraduate, as you know, is a very lucrative field and very great demand. And this man who's a young chap, about 29 years old, from Kolkata, when we interviewed him and we asked him, when you're done general medicine, you have a big opening outside, either to practice or to go for further medicine. Why do you want to come to our hospital? He said that from my childhood, my wish is to serve for Swami. And now that I have finished my general medicine in post-graduation, I want to be in Swami's hospital. This is one. Surprise. He has joined us 6 months back.
6 months?
Yeah, yeah. This is about one. I will share with you an interview which we did yesterday with one doctor we interviewed in ophthalmology. Fairly senior lady, she will be a consultant with us in Prashantigram, super hospital. We asked the same question to her. You have worked about 15 years outside, and why is that you want to come to Puttaparthi? You know what she says? For my childhood, my parents have been devotees from childhood, and I wanted to get certain exposure into medical field and of course the postgraduate degrees, which I did. But all along my life, my ambition was to serve for Swami. And she mentioned this, that if I get the opportunity to serve here, I'll be very, very happy. When you asked her what is your remuneration that you are getting outside and what you get will be this much, she says remuneration is not a concern. I want to be in Puttaparthi. So that was something which really made me think, no? It's not that people, physical absence of Swami, I feel it may not be the constraint, though we felt because maybe we were very close to Swami. But, you know, Swami has his own way of showing us how to go ahead. And his presence is there. You know, so as somebody was saying that, no, it's not that Swami is formless now. He's seen in every form now. That's what we have to see after April 2011. If we see Swami in all those forms, in patients, or even in terms of our colleagues or people who are working here, if we can develop that attitude, you know, that will still keep people motivated to be here. That is a challenge. I mean, it's quite, I will say, easier said than done. But that is something which Swami has shown us a path for so many years. And that's for us to now inculcate that and do
it. See that happening.
Yeah, yeah.
From your experience.
Absolutely.
But I really want one of you to talk about this waiting list, because, you know, that is something which many patients deal with. Any thoughts on this, Dr. Chandra?
Yeah. See, as one can imagine, given the disease burden in the country and the number of hospitals available which can give out completely free healthcare, the number of patients coming to our hospital is pretty large. Given that, you know, the number of patients who come and the resources, the limited resources, we would need to, you know, prioritize on the patients whom we see. And Swami has actually given us certain guidelines in terms of, you know, pick on the patients who have the, you know, maximum, I mean, more lifespan, and pick on or choose your patients so that, like, you choose the breadwinners of the family, choose young mothers, because on them depend a lot of other, you know, their children and their dependents and things. That is one aspect. And, you know, what I want to also share here is Swami had set up these institutions, and he started way back. I mean, in 58 was it?
Yeah, the 56 was the first
general hospital. So at that time, he was, you know, he's been such a visionary. He started offering free care at that time onwards. And now slowly you actually are beginning to see that this particular model is slowly catching up. There are other hospitals being set up in his name, offering the same quality of care completely free. So these are slowly, you know, kind of complementing the care being provided by Swami's hospitals. I believe even in Tamil Nadu, the state, the Satya Sai Seva organization has taken up connecting with the corporate hospitals and kind of negotiating with them to offer at least one bed free. So, you know, in some way or the other, you can see that this work is infectious. It's slowly catching on.
Yeah. So there's even a cascading effect.
Yeah, even in corporate sector for that matter, there are models which are coming up which will offer quality healthcare at lowest cost possible. People are thinking on those lines, you know, a bigger quantity of care,
so you
bigger reach.
That this message is seeping in many circles,
yes,
of society.
Definitely.
And one hospital obviously cannot treat all the diseases of the forget state of a city. So I think the hospital, as Satish Chandra put it, is probably just showing what can be done with a pure intent, and every person can replicate. But the other thing that I want to bring out is, more often than not, we have heard people, whenever you share things about hospitals, say that why is it that we didn't know this about the hospital? Mm-hmm. Why is it that you don't talk anything about what you do in the hospital? What are your thoughts on this, Ashwin?
I think we are strong on advertising, but not a definition that people know. There was a time when we had actually brought up this when around Swami. And we told Swami that there's so many people out there who do so little compared to what Swami is doing. But such a huge fuss is made about it. You've got headlines on newspapers, you've got primetime news on television. And to us, it was just that, Swami, you're doing so much. You are spending millions and millions of rupees, and you've been doing this for years together. Why can't we advertise? Why can't we go out there and tell people
what
this
we are doing?
We should put forth. There's a thin line between exhibitionism or propaganda and projecting what you do. So you should advertise. I mean, tell the world what you do. And you know what Swami said? He said, we are advertising. Every father who leaves this hospital healed, goes back to his family, takes care of his kids, provides for his family, watches the family grow, is our advertisement to society. Every mother who can go back and provide for her children, watch her children grow, is an advertisement to our society. So, to me personally, we have more than, 300,000 or 400,000 patients now in Whitefield alone who have been our silent advertisements, who have actually gone out there telling people that, you know, this hospital has made such a huge difference to me, and had it not been for the hospital, I would not be here. But the difference is, these are nameless, faceless people. These are not people who are going to come out on television and tell the world that they were cured here. These are people who are going to live silently, who will inspire other people, provide for a family, and who will grow as individuals. And to Swami, it's always been a silent revolution. I never thought that Swami was about, you know, going out there and making a big fuss about what you do. It's a silent revolution. Ask your conscience. Have you made a difference to someone? You have. You know, it sort of comes back to me, and, Bishu, you were talking about challenges. It's true, there have been lots and lots of challenges since, particularly as in Swami physically has passed on. Do you know how many people are writing to us asking us the most basic of questions? Asking us questions which we have not heard in the past 12 years. We've heard questions like, is the Satya Sai Hospital still providing free care to everyone? We've heard questions like, is the Satya Sai Hospital only meant for Swami's devotees? We've got questions like, how long will the hospital be able to run? Will it be able to run for a lifetime? But I still hold on to what Swami had said during the inaugural discourse, where he said, this hospital is here to serve the poor. And people have the feeling that such models are not here to last. But all of Swami's institutions are eternal, and this will last for a lifetime. And I think, like all people who believe that they may be instruments of Swami, we can participate to either hasten this or slow this down. But it will last. By what Karthik was saying, I think it's the faith that really drives us. And it's been very encouraging to say the truth. Ever since the 24th of April, which was such a difficult moment for many people, the hospital has taken tremendous strides into showcasing itself into being a model of excellence, a model that people can emulate. And that is something which Swami has always been talking about. The waitlist will always be there. It's a model. If there are other people who can derive from this model, the waitlist may be a lot smaller or a lot shorter. There will be challenges, but we need to constantly work towards trying to do our bit, for one, and generating a greater awareness about what Swami does. Apart from the patient who goes out of our portals cured and willing to serve, we are making other efforts to try and bring forth the work that's being done in the hospital. We are looking at newsletters, we are looking at webcasts, we are looking at a more dynamic website. So we are going to take our small steps. But having said that, we must never forget the inspiration of our founder, who lived 86 years of his life and constantly gave and gave and gave and didn't once make a big fuss about it on television. It was about giving.
Talking about advertisement, I remember something that Dr. Hegde said in one interview. Dr. Hegde was the director of our hospital, the previous director. He was fielding a question on why our hospital was not advertising. We are giving free healthcare, because that is the thing to do. You give free healthcare, you advertise. There are so many hospitals doing that. Why is your hospital not doing? His answer was simple yet profound. He said, see, the hospitals that advertise, maybe out of, say, 100 surgeries, they do one free. But here, we do every surgery free. They advertise because they are doing something different when they provide free healthcare. Here, what do they need to advertise? You are not doing anything different. Every surgery is provided free of cost. Very.
If you have to advertise, you have to do only advertising.
True.
Fantastic. So, I mean, the different things that you shared on in the last 5-10 minutes on the different challenges of the hospital, I think one challenge which Ashwin referred to it and also Neeraj mentioned about it is this absence of this physical form of Bhagavan. Neeraj mentioned that how things do happen. We still continue to feel his presence. We still continue to see how his mysterious hand is making things happen. But I want to ask you, at a very personal level, how does it feel? Because when you decided to stay back in 2001 and work, and when Swami assigned you to work in his hospital, you probably had not imagined that such a day would come in 2011 or 2012, when, if you want to hold on to his hand, it is not there. When you want to go to him for some support, it's not there. When you want to guidance on one particular thing, he's not there. I mean, we can feel his presence, but nothing can replace that absence of that physical, loving, intimate being. So, and since you were a group of people whom he gave that personal attention, he gave that physical attention, so how does it feel now? I want you to share about this challenge. How does it feel now working in the hospital? Is it really very difficult to motivate you every morning to wake up and walk those few steps until you reach the department and work then takes over? But is it really something that you are dealing with? How do you do it, Neeraj?
Yes, indeed true what you said. The first prime... I would say the force that pulled us in Swami's service was his physical presence. No doubt about that. And that is true for
all of us and many of us who are there in the others who are there in the institution. It apparently, of course, looks challenging now, and it was indeed painful after April 2011 for some time, because we always miss that physical presence. But what the way I am looking at is now in last few months, and I believe that is Swami's teaching, is that now it is a time for us to see Swami in each form. what I mentioned sometime back. We have seen Swami in one form. Now it is the time that we have to see him in each form that we deal with, be it at workplace, in our family, or in ashram when we interact with visitors or anybody for that matter. And that is a critical thing, and I find that as one critical thing that we need to, that is a way to practice what Swami has told us to do. And I remember in that context one small incident happened in 2010 when a group of Himachal students had come to perform in front of Swami. At the end of the program, when they went to Swami for the group photograph, the teacher who had come along with the students, she mentioned to Swami, in a sense, that, "No, Swami, we love you." And Swami just said few words. And you know what he said? He said, you love my word. You love my word. I think that is critical now. Yes, his form was so enchanting, so loving, no doubt. And we will definitely miss it. It's quite natural. At the same time, now I think this is a phase where now we have to love his word, what he has taught us through his message that he has given us, the life that he has shown us. That is something that we have to keep always, and that's what I'm trying to do in the recent months, to keep on remembering what he has said, what he has done for us, and see how we can bring that message into our lives. There's something, the learning that I have got.
Satish Chandra, what has been your
experience? I think picking up from where Neeraj left, I think to me, what I find myself doing more nowadays is to practice his presence. You always, you know, when Swami was there in the physical form, you also, he's given you so many experiences of his omniscience, and like you can, now I'm, you know, beginning to kind of take on that as a sadhana, to practice his presence, because it's, where does Swami actually exist? I mean, he exists in our own, you know, speaking. So if I say that, you know, Swami is here right now, he is here right now. So that, to me, is quite a powerful way to, you know, connect with him.
Your thoughts? Yes, Prushti. I went back to just think about why I joined here in the first place, and a lot of thoughts come to me. Definitely, working here is like a triple benefit insurance policy. There are cash benefits and cashless benefits. You take the cash benefits, of course, you get a regular monthly pay, and of course the cashless benefit is, you, the more you work, the more sincerely you work, the more love you put into your work, it, you get grace marks, you can call them grace marks. So you know, you add to your tally of grace. And the third benefit is, you can draw upon it at any time. And see, this insurer is inexhaustible. He's an inexhaustible source, and he never fails you. And the best part of this insurance over any other insurance is that, if you are insured, you know, the on the death of the insured, the nominee gets the money. Here, on your death, you can carry it to the next life. You know, so that's, the cashless benefits are really. But having said all this, this is not the reason why I joined the hospital. It just came to me. Frankly, I don't think any of us here ever asked why we should join this place. The question never occurred. The question that occurred was, why should we not join this place? And I don't find any answers. And it is still the same as it was then. One very sweet incident, it happened in our second year or first year in MBA. There was one lecturer by name Mark Bayless. He used to teach us lessons in finance. I think you might remember Satish Chandra, Prushti also. And there was these lecturers, you know, he was a visiting professor actually. They come here to India to have Swami's darshan, and by way of seva, they also used to come and teach in the college. So they would be where Swami is. That's what you would expect, isn't it? There was a time when Swami moved to Vrindavan. We were studying at Parthi, Prashantilayam at that time. And this professor came to teach us, you know, the regular classes. Then we asked him, "Sir, I mean, you have come here for Swami's darshan. How is it that you are here and you are not in Vrindavan having Swami's darshan?" And he made a very beautiful statement. He said, "When the owner of the house leaves the house, the gardener stays back. And pointing to us, he said he has to tend the roses.
Mm-hmm.
We are in a similar situation now. There is one more incident which comes to my mind. This is Swami himself. There was a time when a decision had to be made on whether some securities had to be sold, because apparently that particular company was not doing well, or that particular fund was not doing well. And contrary to the rules of investment, when this matter was put up to Swami, he asked, when a particular fund or a company is not doing well, is it not at that time when you should stay invested with them? Will anybody think like this? And times changed, and then fortunes reversed, and then that's doing very well now. And that decision paid off at that time. See the heart behind that decision. So I feel that when you feel that things around you are not well, that's not the time to quit. Rather, that's the time to stay with the place and make things better.
And that is what motivates you every morning.
Yes.
Fantastic. And Ashwin.
I'm going to be a lot more human than my friends, and I'm going to say that I miss him terribly. And I'm sure many people do, and I'm sure we all do. The 24th of April was a shock to me, because he wasn't just God to me. He was a mother. He was a father. He was a person whom I grew under. And I've had many, many moments that, have me just feel that I've lost someone who's very precious to me in a physical form. But the truth is, when such a thing happens to you, you can choose to do one of two things. You can either choose to believe that this is your father's work, and in the absence of the father, it's the duty of the sons to carry it forward. It's true, we all believe very firmly that Swami is with us. Of course, though not in the form. And I see it all the time. The other day, can you imagine, there was a cardiologist who visited us from the University of Maine, a senior person. He was an expert in closing holes in the heart using catheters. And this gentleman had never seen Swami. He came last year. He was again there this year. And he plans to come again next year. And when someone asked him, what is it that draws you here? The form is not around. The form that would draw people in to do his work is not around. What really draws you here? He said, the form may not be around, but I feel him in this environment. And I think that is where we all play a very, very vital role. We can choose to miss him terribly, yes, but that can only galvanize us even further to say that we will recommit ourselves to his mission. Because there's so much to do. There's so much. If Swami said that his hospital is going to be here for hundreds of years, I've barely crossed the starting line. There are many, many years ahead of us, and there's so much to do. And I'm sure that Swami wanted the hospital to be a model, a guiding light for many, many other hospitals around. And each morning when I walk into the department and I find myself amidst 120 people who are less fortunate than I am. They are poor, they have heart disease, they have innumerable problems. I remind myself that there are millions of things for you to be grateful for. But the most important of them is that God could choose you to do his work. And that should only power us.
Yeah.
That cannot keep us from giving our best. We have the best of our youth to offer, and we will run a long marathon if we need to. But we do have a role to play. And it holds good for the students. It holds good for anyone who is even listening to the broadcast and thinking to themselves, what can I do for Swami? Remember, we're all in this together. There is a lot to be done. There are hundreds and thousands of people who are out there without a shelter over their heads, without food to eat, without basic medical care, that are waiting for someone to touch them. You and I can become that spark of Swami, to go out there and touch these people and make a huge difference. And I think that's something which should really drive us. Each time we wake up, we should rush to work, because there's a lot to do. We have the legacy of a father to carry forward. And I'm sure all my brothers would agree that this is something we will hold true till the last moment of our lives.
Fantastic. Thank you very much, Ashwin, and thank you all of you for sharing your impressions and your reflections. To me personally, it was very inspirational, and I can say with confidence that I think anyone who has heard this will find something or the other which would have struck a chord in their hearts. And I hope that the mission that Bhagavan has started, as we all share, has so many dimensions to it. And as the hospital celebrates its 12th anniversary, let us wish and hope and pray that this temple of healing continues to provide that health, that happiness and that healing to the hundreds that step into its portals every day. And at the same time, as Ashwin mentioned, inspire others to expand their circle of love, to embrace and envelop as many people as possible who need support, who need solace, who need a little bit of happiness, who need a little bit of joy in their lives. Thank you very much for being with us and sharing your thoughts and reflections. I know you have driven all the way from Bangalore this afternoon, and it's 12 o'clock in the night and we are still talking, and you're going to drive down because tomorrow you have office, tomorrow you have your hospital, I'm sorry. it's your home. You have to work tomorrow, but you took this pain to come all the way and be with us in the studios of Radio Sai. My deep sense of gratitude to each one of you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Krishna.
Thank great
you.
Pleasure. Sai Ram.
So that was the panel discussion with the alumni of Baba's University who are now working in his super speciality hospital in Bangalore. I hope you found this not only informative but also inspiring. For me personally, it was a very moving experience talking to each one of these alumni who have dedicated themselves to work for their father, for their beloved, for their God. There is so much to do for each one of us, as Ashwin said. And if we are young, we are even lucky. We are luckier because we can offer to the Lord the best of our youth. We can offer to Him the best of our talent, the best of our energies. Work for Him, sing for Him, love Him and serve Him by seeing Him in every person. I recorded this conversation with the alumni to mark the 12th anniversary of this temple of healing. I remember the inaugural ceremony of the Bangalore Hospital, January 19, 2001. The former Prime Minister of India, Mr. Atal Bihari Vajpayee, who was then the Prime Minister, had come, and it is he who had given this term, Temple of Healing, to this hospital in Bangalore. And today we see so many walk into this hallowed premises, their hearts filled with hope, and they walk out of this hospital with their faces beaming with joy. And that reminds me of the definition of joy. Baba once said, joy means Jesus first, that is God first. Oh, others next, and why yourself last. That is joy. When we learn to put God first, others next and ourselves last, then we can experience what is true joy. Let us learn to think less of ourselves. Let us give all and take nothing. Let us serve all and be nothing. On this note, dear listeners, I will have to pull the curtain down on this Thursday's live broadcast and this episode of Outside, Inside and Deep Inside. As we look around, the problems and the challenges that so many of us in modern society face, as we look outside, as we look around, we really need to reflect and think within. Think inside, think in the light of Bhagwan's teachings, and then deep inside contemplate and come to the realization that the answer to every problem that we see around us lies in that four-lettered powerful word, love. In fact, even as a sign-off, you will listen to a drama presented in front of Bhagwan by the youth of West Bengal on 16th August 2008. It is entitled Love in Action. It was a wonderful drama presented very powerfully by the youth of this eastern state of India. Please do listen to this, enjoy this, share the love, feel the love, and live in the love. Let us make our lives like those little candles, like those little incense sticks which burn themselves out to give light, to give warmth, and to give a little happiness to others. Thank you so much, dear listeners. Thank you so much for being with me and for this, for tuning in to this Thursday live broadcast. As always, do write to us. We really look forward to your comments, suggestions and feedback. They really help us. listener@radiosai.org is our email ID, listener@radiosai.org. Doesn't matter if it is a critical comment, a suggestion or a remark. Please feel free to put your feelings down. We really need to know what you feel about our programs so that we can improve, so that we can serve you better. So with this, the live broadcast from the studios of Radio Sai on this lovely Thursday comes to a close. So keep listening. As I mentioned, now we will hear to this West Bengal drama by the youth. It is entitled Love in Action. So finally, thank you so much and a loving Sairam from Prashant Nilayam.